RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with me, Eric Wiltshire, and Lee Banks, as we look at the sideways look at the news, sometimes with a slightly serious edge to it as well. But we'll start off with a great, this is just unbelievably brilliant from Bristol. Brilliant from Bristol. Apparently there's a poo-powered VW Beetle, which is dry. I wonder if it smells.
Well, it probably does if you get a bit of a carry on.
Get a whiff of it. Apparently,
no,
this,
I've just stopped.
The bio bug runs on methane gas, which is actually generated at a sewage treatment plant. And the the water people reckon that the waste from... I love the way they use the word waste rather than poo. From 70...
Well, yeah, but hang on. I have an objection to this. I really do. Why can't we say what poo really is? Why do we have to use such a pathetic word? I stopped using poo as a word to describe that particular thing when I was 3 years old. Now everybody from Jonathan Ross to the Queen says it. It's pathetic. Poo is... word I'm not allowed to say.
Exactly. The but I have a question on this one, you see, because apparently it takes the waste of 70 homes to generate enough gas to run the poo-powered VW for 10,000 miles, which is about 16,000 kilometres. Now, if I was living in Bristol, I'd want paying for my poo now. Because it's a fuel. You know, come on.
Let's both see what we can do. Next week, we'll both go out and try to sell
feces to people.
Yeah, let's get a bucket each and go out and sell it. I'll go knocking on next door neighbour's door.
I bet they never pay us for it. But I have to say, congratulations to the guys for actually doing something sensible. Because if it's, you know, if this bio beetle is working properly on 10,000 homes, it's just such a clever idea, so simple. Apparently, the water company does need specialist cleaning equipment to treat the raw sewage.
When you get out of the car.
Yes, you're all walking out while I was going, poo, who's that? Poo, who's that? Oh, my word. I wonder what it tastes like.
I wonder what your horn does when you press your horn. Does it go, poo, poo? That was childish.
No, but it was good. and there's possibilities of it going into the national grid as well. So poo power
No, you're not going to put it down the grid. Then it'll go into the sewers.
No. Because then you could have gas-powered
that
cookers.
Was a joke.
You can have gas-powered cookers from poo.
What are we having for tea tonight, dear? Yeah, no. Yeah, we've put some beautiful poo on the poo cooker. Oh, it's terrible. I think,
come on. I think, seriously, that's a good idea.
You've done really well, yeah. I mean, it'd be funny if we put it in a beetle, because where does a beetle spend most of its life?
In poo.
Yeah, exactly. Now the poo is inside the beetle, which is what the beetle anyway.
I like that one. Anyway, congratulations to the guys down there. It's a good idea. I like things like that. I wish we... Well, actually, there is a plan to do that over here, but I can't talk about it at the moment.
Don't talk about it, Eric.
And the fact is, forget all the greenhouse stuff.
Are you now going to talk about it?
No. Forget all the greenhouse thingies and the hot warming stuff. The fact is that one day fossil fuels like oil will run out. So if you start working on something new and sustainable today, that's really good. Because there's one thing that really worries me about this, Lee.
Yes.
If all the fossil fuels run out, what the dickens are we going to run Formula One cars on?
I have an answer to that, very simply.
Yeah, I know it's going to be rude.
It isn't. There is a friend of mine called Jeff the Peth, who... 20 years ago, ran, I think it was a Volkswagen Beetle then, on cooking oil. And people are actually going now, they're actually running cars properly on cooking oil. He did it 20 years ago. Yes, we don't need to be spending £6.50 a gallon for fuel. There are so many ways of getting around. And actually, you know what? What's wrong with doing a bit of walking or getting on a bike? Why have we got to all have cars?
What was that W word you said?
I never said the W word, did I?
You did. War. I don't know that word. Oh, I know what it is. It's that 3 metres I have to move my body between my car and my office. Is that what you're on about?
Walking.
Ouch!
Yeah, walking, Eric. Oh. That's what you do. You know those legs that you think are just for dangling off the edge of a chair?
Yes.
Yeah, little things. They're like things that blow in the wind.
No, no, Lee.
Those are made for walking on.
No, Lee, no. They're designed to operate the clutch, the brake, and the gas on my car.
And?
Yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Do you have any shoes? You don't need shoes, do you?
Not much.
No, you'll be all right.
Anyway.
Yeah, some of those, you can make shoes out of tyres.
Stop it.
Well, how fast you'd walk then?
I know, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? But we've got to keep some fuel, we've got to keep some proper fuel back for Formula One. It, you know, it's important. So use fossil fuels, so we've got loads left for Formula One.
I have a Formula One joke on me, or the machine.
Good. It can stay there because it's 3 weeks of no Formula One for a bit, and I'm going to be in withdrawal symptoms soon. Anyway, I do kind of like this story. This is the one in Florida where a 20-year-old Christian mobile phone shop manager managed to stop a would-be armed robber by preaching to him about Jesus. She must have one heck of a good phone call connection up there. And, oh dear, this is difficult, and I apologise in advance. Nareya spent about 5 minutes persuading the man he was doing the wrong thing. Eventually, the man apologised and said that he was actually carrying a replica gun, I can't even say it, and left the shop in Brownwood County. She managed to calm him down and sort of keep him quiet. And eventually, the would-be robber left, which I think is really cool. But the man said he was a Christian and was very embarrassed about what was taking place. But he was so desperate. You see what I was saying earlier about people being desperate? He needed $300 to avoid being evicted from his home. And this is the problem, boys and girls. Anyway, the man apparently is still being sought after for attempted armed robbery. So it's not so good.
See, how does that work when you think, quite seriously? Now, what he did was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. He should never have gone in, even with a replica gun, and he shouldn't have threatened people.
No.
But when the man's seen the light and not committed the crime, he's gone to the point of going to commit the crime and then stopped and gone away and perhaps not committed any more crime.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hasn't he paid his debt to society? Isn't it better for somebody to learn the error of their ways rather than be hunted and pilloried for something that they didn't actually do?
Or try telling that to somebody after they've just done 100 kilometres through the centre of a city then said, I won't do it again, Gov.
Eh?
Well, think about it.
I'll pretend I understand that. No, we'll carry on.
I'm sorry, that was metric. You can't do metric, can you? Never mind. One for Lee here as well. The National Archive website in the UK has...
I have something to say about this.
Has released a load of documents about a supposed, allegedly rumoured, UFO cover-up that was ordered by the late Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of the UK.
Uh-huh. Things.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get these, and this you're going to have to move quickly on this, and I'll read it out for you slowly in a second, so get your pen and paper ready. If you actually want to get to see the particular documents, apparently they're only going to be available for, I think, August only. So get in quick. Mm. If you want to download them and read them, there's a heck of a lot of them. It's, you know, a CD's worth for sure, if not a DVD's worth. And these documents are when Churchill took the threat of UFOs very, very seriously, which was back in the 1950s. And
1957 it was, yeah.
Thank you. And... these also included wartime documentation about UFOs and the like, where Winston Churchill didn't want to create mass panic around everywhere. And so these documents were hidden. Now, I know...
I have something to say.
Go on, then. Go on. I know you're brewing up to it. Off you go.
Well, no, it's very simple. You know, everybody knows by now that I am known as the sceptical ghost hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That I do not believe necessarily in UFOs or ghosts or anything paranormal or weird. What I want to do is prove or disprove their existence. But what happens, particularly with UFOs, anybody sees a ghost or sees a UFO, they are automatically pilloried for being drunk or on drugs. Right, you're just seeing things, you daft person. Now, right, here's Winston Churchill, a laudable man, did a lot of good in this world, but what was his proclivity? Brandy.
Yeah, but I agree.
Why, just because he's because he's famous and he's
been I can understand. I can seriously understand why he didn't want to create mass panic during World War II over something like a UFO, because you know. As we said through this program, people are tense and nervous, and then they'll panic, and they'll things get the chimney on fire becomes the house burnt down by the time the story's got through a village. It's one of those situations, and I have to say, thank God I wasn't. But if I'd have been in a bomber or a fighter plane in World War II, would I have been rational enough to actually sort of see something flash across my eyes and know whether it was a UFO or not? I don't think I would, to be really honest about it.
But if you were in a fighter plane, you should be aware of the security risk that that thing could cause.
But would I have known?
You should be chasing it.
Would I have known which one it was, Lee? It could have been a firebomb from another aircraft. It could be all sorts of wondrous things. In the heat of the moment, I don't think everybody could 100% guarantee they would have known one thing or the other.
And yeah, but there were 5,000 pages of reports on this. Some people did know enough. Yeah.
Yes.
And Winston Churchill, I think this is wrong. Why are reports on UFOs hidden? Part of what I do is...
I don't think they should be hidden, UFO. Lee. I think they should be looked at rationally.
Yeah, but they're all put down and it's like Roswell and places like that. Mm-hmm. Why are the secrets? If people think it's such a joke, why don't they just tell us about it? The mass panic in 1957, like when, I forgot his name, the actor put that War of the Worlds thing out, and the whole of America apparently went into a panic. I think three people phoned up the police to say, oh, what's going on? But that might have happened in Britain because honesty is better than keeping secrets. That's it. 1957, the original nanny state.
Actually, no, I can tell you that's not truly, because in the early 90s, I was really privileged.
Don't you embarrass me in front of the public.
No. We were very, very, very privileged in the early 90s to work on an experimental satellite radio station. And I say experimental because it was all very new then. The technology wasn't...
Because it never existed.
People weren't sure about the technology. And there's this bunch of guys who were trying to promote satellite radio, to work with it, to explain how it could be used and so on and so forth. Yeah. Now, we didn't have massive budgets for this sort of thing.
You don't want massive budgets unless you're down in a...
So, we had this radio station, and it's gone now. It was called Euronet, and it was really fabulous.
I remember Euronet. That was very good, actually.
Well, we got to Christmas and thought, we don't want to work over Christmas. And so our program director, Chris, came up with this novel idea that we would have a pretend Christmas party, but they wouldn't let us have one.
Now, who wouldn't?
Exactly, that's the point. You never found out who they were, but they wouldn't let us. They were breaking into the building. They were taking away studios as we ran up this three-story building, allegedly. They were cutting transmission wires. They were doing all sorts of things. And we did have some great contacts who played the game with us, people at LWT, Radio Luxembourg, who made recordings as if they were dropping in food supplies via helicopter, because you can do this on radio, to these guys that were stuck up in this attic, still broadcasting, while they wouldn't let us have a Christmas party. It was all down at this Christmas party. The interesting thing is, some people actually phoned up the regulator in the UK and said, it's terrible, what's going on? Because they believed it.
That's right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. In the 1990s, I used to have a guest house. But it was, it wasn't that salubrious because I was a bachelor and everything. And there were some very strange people to live there. And there was a jolly old English wag in the pub one night said to me, he says, you know why there's no aliens seen on this earth? I said, why? He says, because they're all living with you. Oh. And he's right.
But it's funny, I agree with Mr. Churchill on that one. Definitely, some things just need to be kept away from the public.
Because I couldn't agree less.
Because it causes panic. This is one terrible. Of the things that shouldn't be kept away from the public. And again, thank you to Sarah for this one.
It should be banned. No. Which one are you talking about?
Right, we're moving on to our Clean Up the Internet campaign.
I need to start by
clarifying all this, otherwise it will make absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. Sarah contacted us. Lee's been working on this really hard. And he, in turn, wrote to a wonderful guy called Patrick Evans, who is at the PR department of QuickFit, which I will try to do properly. You can't get quicker than a QuickFit fitter. Thank you.
Oh, that's terrible, you know. They should be paying us for that.
Now, what happens is this. People who have no control over themselves whatsoever or the sites that are going on can actually put videos about situations, companies, they can say what the hell they like, allegedly, because they think that under American law or a foreign law, they can just do what the hell they like and get away with it. The downside of that is that to the business model of a lot of these video websites requires advertising. So what you get is a situation where a very reputable company like QuickFit had a commercial in front of a video which was libelous about another company, not related to QuickFit, had no communication with QuickFit whatsoever. Not only that, this video was also connected to very bad images. It was also connected to bad images, which are still on a children's bedroom furniture website.
And worse than that.
And there are videos there, which I'll have to use the terminology, apologies, where people are wearing GIMP masks, there's blood and gore everywhere.
And they're strung from the ceilings and whipped.
Absolutely. And one of the websites in question was Daily Motion. So once we found out about this, Lee contacted Patrick at QuickFit and explained that there was this Daily Motion video, there was this children's bedroom furniture, and that the whole thing was being fronted, if you like, with an advert for QuickFit. Now, fair play to QuickFit. What did he actually say to you, Lee, in the email?
QuickFit, well, he was saying, let me look. It very simply says, thank you very much for alerting us to this. Please below find a statement from QuickFit. The statement says, the appearance of a QuickFit advertisement on this video was unintentional and due to an administrative error in its media buying. As soon as we were made aware of this advertisement, it was removed. QuickFit regrets any upset this may have caused. That's it. Well done.
Well done, QuickFit. Round of applause for that. Good man.
Yay!
Yeah, good on you, boys and girls. Because the trouble with this is there are bad people putting content on the internet.
Yeah.
And reputable companies not realising and therefore generating revenue for this junk that's on the internet. And they can't always find out about it. So, we'll come on to another one.
Are we mentioning any other firm?
We are in a second. What I would say to everybody listening, if you see a commercial in front of a bad piece of content, something that's definitely inappropriate, something that's, you know, really clearly saying the wrong things about another company, if it is you see that, because a lot of these websites just don't care. But I'll tell you what they do.
There lies the rub.
Yes, but I'll tell you what they do care about is like poor Patrick.
Losing money.
Well, Patrick doesn't want the QuickFit brand associated to a video like this, quite rightly.
Nope.
And therefore, he's removed that video content, his advertisement from that video content. Yep. Well done, Patrick.
Yep.
And the fact is, if we all get on with this and don't worry the websites who go, oh, it's the something amendment of the something or other, which means we can do what we like. You hit them in the pocket, boys and girls, and they'll think about it. And it will stop the bad content going on the internet, which is totally unacceptable content.
That's right. That's right. This is something that I get on my high horse about regularly, and it's right. There is no regulation of the internet, and things can go through which can damage people irreparably, mm-hmm. and they've actually done nothing wrong. Mm. And it is shameful that a company like who put these sort of videos out don't have a method of controlling their own content and monitoring what's happening to the content.
I think the problem is, Lee, that the volume is too big. That's not an excuse. It's a statement of fact.
No, that isn't an excuse.
No, it's not.
It's a statement of fact, but it's no excuse.
So therefore, we've got to be grown-ups about this, and we need to help the reputable companies that are advertising on there and inadvertently see their content mixed up with bad videos. We need to help them as mature adults to fix this problem, which brings me beautifully on to there's a big rail organisation in the UK, boys and girls, called East Coast Rail. And again, Paul Williams. Well done, Paul Williams. Thank you very much. Good man. East Coast Rail have also now been notified by Lee, thanks to Sarah, about adverts that they were putting on dailymotion.com, which is where some of these videos are based. And the East Coast spokesman said what, Lee?
Well, more or less the same thing. So we're not backing or supporting this person in any way at all.
Hmm.
And we'll check this out.
Well, actually, the quote from him, it says, I've got it on the screen in front of me, says, thanks for bringing this to our attention. That's what RTI is here for, Paul. Our advertising space is bought via a media agency for this website, and we had no intention for this to be linked to the videos in question. The adverts have now been pulled from this site. Well done, Paul. Nice one, mate. Good stuff on you.
Well done.
Absolutely fabulous. And this is the way, boys and girls, we will clean up the internet with your help, at RTI. Collectively, we can do this, and we can make the internet a great place for companies to advertise on. We can make it a great resource again for our kids to go onto without having to worry about it. And that's the most important thing. At the moment...
Go on. I just want to read you something off Daily Motion. It's not that they've replied to us, it's just something that they say.
Mm-hmm.
Daily Motion says, it's established a visible and easily accessible means of allowing anyone to notify or disseminate via their website. What they say they don't want on their website is child pornography, dangerous or illegal acts, unlawful, obscene, defamatory or libelous material. It goes on and on. All the things that you can't use. All to do with exactly what is happening to these companies through this particular video.
Which is wrong. Absolutely wrong.
So it's even wrong about Daily Motion's guidelines.
Absolutely.
Well. Look at your website, Daily Motion.
Yeah, get on with it. Well, I would say, if you've seen any more of these things, do let us know. We will investigate them with you. Make sure they're genuine. Don't put anything stupid up there.
Yeah.
And we will happily read them out on the radio and compliment companies like East Coast Rail and QuickFit who reacted properly, professionally, and fixed the problem. Well done, guys.
Well done.
Anyway, what's wrong with my name, Mr. Banks, as we get towards the end of part two?
Well, there's nothing wrong with your name, Eric Norman. Eric Norman. Nothing's wrong with Norman. No, Normans were great invaders of the world, weren't they?
Did we used to do pillaging and stuff like that?
We used to do a bit of rape and a bit of pillaging and a bit of stuff like that when you grew up.
Right. Apparently,
apparently what's happened is that the name Norman is almost extinct, which I think is sad. Like, it goes along with Edna, Ethel, Walter, and Percy.
Does that make me a bit of a dinosaur then? I'm nearly extinct.
Well, no, your middle name. I've got, all right, I'll hold my hand up. My middle name is Gordon, and I put that in the same ilk as being called Norman. Gordon is a moron, right? Norman is a knobhead. But anyway, right? Those names are vanishing off the face of the earth, and I think that's a real tragedy.
Really?
It, no, Yeah, I do.
Well, apparently in 2005, there was only two babies called Norman.
I know.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because we'll be unique then, won't we?
Well, you'd be unique, but you won't exist. What about Gertrude? That's another name that's going, isn't it?
Well, that's Gertie, isn't it?
Hey, here, I've got a fact for you about this.
Go on.
You know, in 1900, what, was only two babies were called Norman in 2005?
Yeah.
Right? In 1907, there were 400 boys named Norman and 300 girls called Gertrude. Well, actually, that's not a very high percentage.
Well,
either, is it?
I don't know. It depends, because the birth rate would have been a lot lower at that point. But there you go. Anyway, I love this story about allegedly the oldest man in Tokyo who's been dead for 30 years.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
That's right. I think he's so funny. And also, it's a salutary warning, which I'll point out to people after. Well, yeah, this bloke, right, was supposed to... what was he called? Sugen Kato. It was his 111th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
111!
Right. Right.
Officials had planned a birthday celebration for him, and they went round to his house taking a little bit of cake and a little bit of drink that you could suck through a straw and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got there, they found him dead. Now, don't laugh. That's not a laughable thing. He found him dead in bed. The thing was that he was actually mummified. He was a mummified skeleton.
Oh.
He'd been dead for 30 years. His family had kept him in bed for 30 years since he died so they could carry on claiming benefits.
Oh, my word. £70,000 worth of benefit.
Yeah, 70 grand, 9.5 million yen.
That's a good move if you can get away with it. We did promise that we would do a quickie on this unbelievable story. Apparently, there's a month-long water pistol tournament underway in the UK. I think this is just stupid.
Yeah.
This started off in New York. Sorry, New York. And what the idea is you confront your mates, and some people take this to such an extent where they sort of like kidnap people, take them down into a sort of blackened area like a basement, have this water pistol gun stuck in their back, and then just spray them with water and think it's funny. Now, I'm sorry, I definitely agree with Mayor Bloomberg from New York, who said it's not funny in this day and age. They could do with some psychiatric help. And I
think it's right.
I agree with you, Mr. Bloomberg, yeah, who's actually a very nice man, and his assistant Steve's a nice man as well.
He's a bit poor now.
Yeah.
But on this thing, you know, I'm just thinking, there's an advert on television, and I am appalled by this advert, right?
Yeah.
And it's not for water pistols, but it's for, you know, that thing where you shoot people with paintballs.
Mm.
Right, and there's a point in this advert... And it really is, shouldn't be allowed, it should be taken off the air. Where one of the paintballers shoots his mate at point blank range in the gentleman's sausage.
Gosh, at that point we'll better leave Postcard from Pop Brad for this week, boys and girls. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, and he is
Lee G. Banks
on the Zit of Europe.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.